Hello, you're listening to The Food Fix, a podcast where we talk with innovators who are figuring out how to better feed the world. My name is Petulano Ali, and in this episode, we talk to a young man who is working to keep farms alive. As Southern Africa struggles to recover from its worst drought in decades, farmers are seeing their crops destroyed due to El Nino weather changes. Farming afflicts millions of people. Without crops, farmers can't eat. Without money, they can't buy farming supplies. To help them find low-cost pesticides and fertilizers, Mpato Simba, a 19-year-old from Lusaka, Zambia, has found a way to produce fertilizer and pesticide from unwanted plant material, ash, mud, water, and heat. Mpato says his technique cuts fertilizer cost in half and saves farmers up to 80% of the cost of pesticides. The project won a national award to the tune of $15,000 at the 2016 Google Science Fair Engineering Competition. On phone from Lusaka, Zambia, Mpato joins me now to talk about his project. Mpato, welcome to the Food Fix and congratulations on your award.
Hi, Ali. Thanks so much and thank you for having me.
Now, could you describe to our listeners the project that won you the award? How does it work?
The project is about making a green fertilizer and pesticide in an extremely simple way. And I can't really stress how simple it is because you just use ash, water, mud, and just heat that with plant waste. The mud is used to make a vessel. So we normally have clay pots in the villages and in the rural areas. So use the mud to make that vessel. And then the ash will be used to extract potash from, which is potassium hydroxide. And then when you use the water to make the solution and you boil that with the plant waste, what happens is that the amides inside the plant, amides are just carboxylic acid derivatives, which are found naturally, or you can produce them in the lab. Those will be hydrolyzed into ammonia as well as an organic salt. And it's that ammonia that you want, because the ammonia will be used as a pesticide because it's naturally toxic to organisms. It's also toxic to us, and it's produced in our bodies, but it's gotten rid of naturally. And even in the environment, it will kill the pest, but it will be broken down naturally by bacteria. And it will also, at the same time, act as a nitrogen fertilizer, because once it's broken down to nitrates, which can be used as a form and as a source of nitrogen for the plants. And also, there will be other minerals taken from the ashes.
All right, you titled your project Keeping Farms Alive on a Budget. How does your project do that?
The way it does that is it saves so much money that people would need on the recurring costs of fertilizers and pesticides. The biggest cost is actually from fertilizers, because fertilizers are bought throughout the planting season. So, for example, if you're going to grow maize, it takes 3 months. So right now we're in the second month, and from the first month, you have to buy your Compound D. Just like that, you keep on buying it throughout. So instead of them having to buy all that, they can simply make this fertilizer, which would have the nitrogen, which would have the phosphorus, and which would also have the potassium, which are the main minerals needed by plants. And it will also have minor minerals from the ashes, and it will be able to provide them with a complete fertilizer without having to buy anything at all. And that way they can be able, if they want to buy something, they'll be able to at least save some money. For example, they'll buy 30% of the fertilizers, then the rest of it they'll make themselves. And at the same time, since it's toxic, the ammonia is toxic, as I said before, you can use that as a pesticide. And if you want, you don't even have to buy any pesticide. So that's how it would save so much money, and it is saving a lot of people money.
I mean, this is sounding so incredible. You're just 19 and already doing this. What is your motivation for doing this kind of work?
Christianity, because growing up, I've always read from the Bible how I should help people whenever I can. So I keep on trying to think of how I can use my education, because I've been told, you know what, focus on your education and do this first. So I keep on thinking, okay, while I'm doing my education, how can I use what I'm learning practically so that I don't just learn it and it's all a waste? Because, I mean, if you learn about geography in high school, half of the time, most people won't even do geography in university. So at least everything that I'm learning, I'm trying to put it to good use somehow. And that's been my main motivator, just trying to think of what I can do to follow the Bible as I'm living. And also because at home, we have a farm, and I've grown up on the farm. So I know the difficulties that farmers face. I know the difficulty that rural people face in my grandpa's village. And I wanted to come up with ideas and solutions that could help them, and at the same time, not be expensive. It's so simple that anyone can do it. Even a child could be able to do it. And those were my biggest motivators.
Your father is a member of parliament in Zambia. How does his role as a politician influence you to get involved in this project? Is it some kind of local politics pushing you because your father is a politician to do this as well?
No, not really, because I don't want to do politics myself. And I'm also not really interested in it. If he's campaigning or he needs some help, I will come in to help him because, you know, your family has to help you. But the reason I'm doing it isn't because of politics, but it has influenced me in a huge way, because every single day, the main topic that might be at the table is what's happening around the country, or what's happening at this constituency, what's happening at this district. So every day, Dad would come with maybe ideas that people are talking about, complaints that people have. He might talk about policies that the government is implementing wrongly. And so one of the things that I always think about, and he's always sort of encouraging me to think outside the box, because I'd give an example of one of the policies that made me think about this, making fertilizer and pesticides. Back home, we have cooperatives and also we have subsidies. So the way the government works is that they want to be handing out fertilizers and pesticides as well as other inputs to farmers whenever the farming season starts. But many times it's erratic and they're not doing it right. So a lot of people have been left without anything to use this year. And so I wanted to be able to fill in that gap. And that's what really encouraged me to fill in that gap and deal with that.
So, Mpatso, tell me how difficult it was for you to realize this project.
It was quite a challenge. Let me say the first biggest challenge was just getting over whether it would work or not. Because something can sound great theoretically and can sound good on paper, but unless you've applied your mind to it, it won't do anything. So that was the biggest problem. I had to get the chemistry right. And I had to make sure that what I'm doing is sensible. I had to check, okay, do plants actually have amides? How much do they have? If they do, will it be feasible to extract ammonia from them? And then the next problem was trying to figure out how to make the prototype and also how to do the testing. The other challenge was convincing people that this can work and that it can actually help them. Doing the test and getting valid results, that people can actually see that, okay, this is an idea that we can take on and it will actually have an effect on our lives. So it was quite challenging to actually do it, but at least now it's out there.
And where did you learn how to do all those?
All this stuff I've learned from high school as well as from A-levels, mostly chemistry class, as well as physics class, so just the sciences. Teaching myself at home a few things, so maybe reading ahead or reading in a book, reading a magazine about green technology, and also just being inspired by those to try and make something as well.
You have tried this project at home and on a family plot. Tell me about the outcome and how much you were able to save using this technique.
We did this on my brother-in-law's farm, and at the end of October, started applying that on the plant. As a pesticide, it did kill a lot of the aphids, at least in 5 hours when I tested. They died in 5 hours. As a fertilizer, many of the plants have grown without complications. So they have survived and they have been able to make use of the nutrient from the fertilizer.
And what kind of crops or plants are you trying this on?
Maize, because maize is the staple crop here in Zambia. So the project needs to be able to help maize farmers. Maize as well as watermelons. Watermelons are just a personal favorite, so I've got some at home which I'm going to do as well.
What has been the response of the Zambian government and the people?
There has been no response from the government because I haven't approached them yet. Instead, I've gone to the University of Zambia. On November 17th, I was with them, and from there we were doing the lab tests, and they've also agreed to give me consultation. They've also helped me to come up with literature values, because if you're going to be using liquid fertilizer as well as a pesticide, you need to have exact ratios. So how much water do I put? How many plants can I use this for? How long can I have this for? So I need to come up with all those literature values, and the university is helping me with that. The people have been very positive. I've spoken to a number of Zambians, a large majority of family members, but even those who aren't family members have had a positive response and they want to try it. As soon as I have all the literature values down, they say they would like to try it and they would definitely like to hear from me especially before this planting season ends, so they can try it. Even if it's at the end, they can still be able to give it a shot. And I will approach the government as well once I have all my literature values down.
I mean, all these is to ensure that there is not just food available, but secured food. How does your technique ensure food security? Could it be used in other countries?
Yes, it can be used in other countries, because all you need are the four materials I mentioned at the start, and those are universally available. Although plant material, you'd really have a hard time finding it in the desert. For example, most of the countries which are near the Sahara or even the Kalahari would find it hard to maybe use the method, because I'm sure they're growing plant material for food. But since Africa is 75% fertile and has 75% vegetation, at least 75% of countries can use it, if I can say that. You can have mud from anywhere, the ash you produce at home. So once you're done burning wood, you get that ash. And then you can use drinking water, but that's not the best. Just get normal river water and something that, at the moment, doesn't have any food value or doesn't have too much value. So it's about turning valueless things into something that makes a difference for someone. And the way it ensures food security is by allowing poor farmers to have those inputs that they're lacking. The biggest problem for poor farmers is that if it's in Zambia, if they don't get their fertilizer, they end up with stunted crops, or they'll end up with a small yield. And if they don't have anything to kill pests with, they end up having a large portion of what they have grown. Even though it's a tiny thing, a large portion of that will end up being destroyed, maybe by grain borers. There's a lot of complications that they have to find a way to overcome. So it gives them a way to remove those losses, so that they can be able to make more food per year. If they have more food per year, they can either be able to sell more and so be able to get more money, or if they're saving more money by maybe keeping the money that they get from the government and then using this method instead, they're saving that money instead of just relying every year on hand-to-mouth, whereby they have nothing in their savings and they have nothing saved up in case drought comes or famine comes. It can also be used by entrepreneurs, because most people would only think of carpentry or bricklaying, but you can also have chemistry. So someone in the village can take this up and he can think about becoming the village fertilizer maker. So he would be doing this all day and throughout the week, throughout the month, and then at the end of it, before planting season, he sells. So he uses that money to feed his family and to feed himself. So it's really focusing on trying to make people self-sufficient, so that they can be able to feed themselves no matter what situation they're in, and also be able to keep on improving themselves.
I mean, this is something so inspirational. And right now I'm just thinking, well, maybe I should go back to the village and learn about Mpatso's technique and become a farmer and start making fertilizers, because it's really incredible. But I'm wondering, what lessons have you learned from this project?
Two lessons I've learned. The first one being taking opportunities. Because many times in my life, when I see an opportunity, I'm very lazy. So with this project, I've had to be very, I'd say, courageous. It was during exam time that we were testing. I had to, you know, make that time in my own schedule as well as in the teacher's schedule. So that was also pretty risky, because if you don't study enough, your grades won't be okay. And I had to take different opportunities. So even signing up for the Google Science Fair, I just had to look at myself and say, you know what, I'm doing this. So it's really helped me to think about that in my life, that, you know what, if something presents itself, just grab it. And it's been really helpful. I think in a large part, communication as well as pitching ideas, because talking to people has been hard and trying to convince them has been hard, whether it was going to university for testing or whether it's going to be further down the road, convincing people to use the technique in their villages. It's going to be hard, but I've learned a lot about how to approach them and about how to think about presenting the benefits to them before anything else, so that they can be able to be warmed up to the idea in that way.
And what did you win from Google, and what are you going to do with what you won?
I won a scholarship for $15,000 from Scholarship America. I plan to use it for my education. For the scholarship, it's only American schools, so if I manage to get a different scholarship, an additional scholarship, I will instead use the money to fund a project further down the road, and also maybe to do something with biofuels. So I might use the money to fund one of those projects. Also, I won a trip to the Galapagos Islands, and It's going to be this year. I don't know the date yet. I haven't been told. So I don't know about that. But yeah, at least it's a 12-day trip to the Galapagos with a guardian. And it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
And I hope that you remember to take me on that trip.
Yeah. No, I'll definitely call you and tell you when it's coming.
All right. I mean, I'm just kind of like interested here. What are the next steps? What do you plan to do about this project?
So testing is taking a bit of time. But once testing is done, I'm hoping that starting April, I will be going more and more to Grandpa's village and also more and more around the farm here and telling people about it. Also giving them these handouts that I made, which are infographics, and they teach you how to use it. And then at the back, you've got the ratios. So I want to be giving those and to different people starting April around home. And also, if I can, I'd like to speak at my old high school and also speak at the university and speak at different agricultural shows just to promote the idea.
Mpatso Simbao is 19 and lives in Lusaka, Zambia. He just completed high school, and we've been talking about his award-winning project, Keeping Farms Alive on a Budget. Mpatso, thank you for talking to the Food Figs and all the best in your endeavors.
Thank you so much for having me.
Are you working on other ways to keep farms alive? We want to hear from you. Email us with questions and comments at foodfigspodcast@gmail.com. And that's it from me, Pecholano Ali, on this episode of The Food Fix. It's produced by the Translational Scholars Program at Michigan State University. Funding for The Food Fix is provided by the Global Center for Food Systems Innovation at Michigan State University, a development lab funded by USAID. Our theme music is the song Watching My Garden Grow by two of our favorite Michigan artists, Lindsay Liu and Josh Rilko. Thank you for listening and have a great day.